Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 6, Chapter 12, chapter entitled Vritrasura's Glorious Death, text number 12. Avidvan evam atmanam manyate anisham ishvaram bhutai shrujati bhutani grasate tani tai swayam avidvaneva matmanam avidvan evam atmanam manyate nishamishvaram manyate nishamishvaram bhutai sujati bhutani bhutai sujati bhutani grasate tani taik swayam grasate tani taik swayam avidvan evam atmanam manyate nishamishvaram bhutai sujati bhutani grasate tani taik swayam. Satetani take swayam. Ladies, avidvan, one who is foolish, without knowledge. Evam, thus, atmanam, himself. Manyate, considers, anisham, although totally dependent on others, ishvaram, as the supreme controller, independent, bhutai, by the living entities. Srijati, He, the Lord, creates. Bhutani, other living entities. Grasate, He devours. Tani, them. Tai, by other living beings. Swayam, Himself. Translation. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, just as another animal is devoured by a tiger. This is not a proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, one's karma, or previous fruitive activity, is the cause of everything. And therefore, there is no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord. As the Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not the creators of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruitive activities, he is put into the semen of the father, who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. Then according to the body of the mother and father, yata yoni yata bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer or enjoy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of one's being killed. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Tibhanandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karahmahyam Dadati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarane Avidvan Evam Atmanam Manyate Nisham Ishwaram Bhutaik Srijati Bhutani Grasate Tani Taik Swayam. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not a proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. So, here, Dhritarasura is continuing his instructions to Lord Indra. We may think, how is it that some asura is preaching to Indra, who's a devotee? And this is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is very wonderful. Actually, Dhritarasura, he was born in a demoniac family, but he was a great devotee. Pure devotee. And he's definitely fit to instruct Indra, because he's definitely fit to instruct Indra and Indra's associates, the other demigods who are arranged in battle to kill Dhritarasura. Dhritarasura knows he's going to die at the hand of Indra. This has been foretold. He knows it very well. But he's not concerned about his personal well-being. He's not concerned about his personal well-being. As a pure devotee, he sees an opportunity to instruct Indra. Out of compassion, he's forgetting about his personal situation, that he's about to die, and he's giving very valuable instructions to Indra. Now, Indra is also a devotee, but in this situation, Indra is acting out of attachment to the position of being the controller of the heavenly planets. Of course, in some places it's described that actually Indra was not, in this particular situation, was not attached. But because he was the king of the demigods, and all the demigods were following him, and they were attached, all the other demigods and soldiers arranged on the battlefield were following him and were attached to regaining their lost kingdom of the heavenly planets. Therefore, he was acting in this way. But in any case, Dhritarasura, he's taking the opportunity to preach to materialistic devotees. He's seeing that at least Indra, or at least his followers, they're very much attached to their material situation. They very much want to have an enjoyable situation in the heavenly planets. So they're taking up the process, and they're forgetting that the very important point that is stressed in this verse. Avidvan evam atmanam manyate nisham ishvaram. Avidvan, a foolish person, he's thinking about himself, atmanam ishvaram. I am the controller. But actually he's anisha. So it says, manyate nisham ishvaram. Actually, even though he's anisha, he's not the controller, he's totally dependent, he's thinking he's ishvara. He's thinking he's the controller. So these materialistic devotees, they're thinking, I can, by my own endeavor, I can enjoy. And they're thinking also that, yes, Krishna will help me. So they're devotees. They're feeling themselves Yes, Krishna is the ultimate. He'll help me because I'm his devotee. But they don't understand this fully. They don't understand this point. Then it says, "Bhutai srujati bhutani." So we all see. This is very common knowledge. Bhutai srujati bhutani, that one living entity creates another living entity. Every living entity is created by some other living entity. And then, but then, grasate tani taik svayam. In that way, bhutani, sujati bhutani, actually is svayam, the Supreme Lord. He is actually devouring, creating and devouring everyone. Even though someone thinks, yes, I am creating, or I have been created by my father and mother. Yes, and this living entity is being destroyed. I will also die someday by some influence of some other living entity. Some tiger will eat me, or some bacteria will, you know, give me a disease and I will die. Everyone's thinking that that there's some living entity will be the cause of my death. But actually, no. It says that the Supreme Lord, He is devouring everything. Grasate tani taiks. He's devouring everything. So this is, to think that I'm the controller is foolishness. So, practically speaking, everyone in this material world has this illusion. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he takes the opportunity to severely criticize one such group of philosophers called the Karma Mimamsas. And he says, according to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, one's karma or previous root of activity is the cause of everything. So this is the Karma Mimamsas, or the also called the Purva Mimamsas. They have the philosophy is their philosophy is that, well, there may be a Supreme Lord. There may or may not be demigods. That's not important. The main thing is following the Vedic rituals. The main thing is doing our duty. If we chant the Vedic mantras, then the Vedic mantras, they're all powerful. The Vedic mantras are all powerful. If we follow the Vedic procedures and we chant the Vedic mantras properly, then the results have to come. If there is some god, or there is some demigod, they're subservient to the power of the mantra. Sometimes they even say, actually, the god and the demigod, they don't have any existence at all, except in the sound vibration of their names, in the mantras. So they say the demigods don't exist, God doesn't exist, but because their names are mentioned in the mantras, therefore they're assumed to exist, and but it's actually the mantra itself which is acting, and not the independent. And there's no independent Supreme Lord. There's no independent demigods. There's no demigods who are actually supplying. This is all just some misunderstanding. There's actually the mantras which are providing, and so this. This is also atheistic philosophy. The Vedic mantras are definitely potent, And the Karma Mimamsas also say that they're potent, but they say that they're supremely potent. And we say that actually the Vedic mantras are potent because the Supreme Lord has empowered them. And ultimately, the Supreme Lord is the controller. He is actually controlling whether the mantras work or not. If the Supreme Lord wills that the mantras be chanted properly and the proper result will come, then the mantras will be chanted properly and the results will come. If he doesn't will, then there will be some mistake in the chanting, or the chanting will not be done at all, somehow or other. So it's the Supreme Lord that's ultimately deciding all these things. So this is one example. Here's one example of how the pure devotees of the Lord and the Supreme Lord Himself, they're very compassionate to those who are devotees but have some mistaken philosophy, or they're not demonstrating on the highest platform. So this Karma Mimamsa philosophy is Srila Prabhupada's attacking here. But actually, Karma Mimamsa philosophy was once spoken by Krishna himself. We know that pastime. In the 10th canto, Krishna is very much concerned about Indra, the same Indra. He's very much concerned that this Indra, he's become puffed up. And he's thinking that he's the supreme controller. And he needs to be instructed, just like Vritrasura is instructing here. So, Vritrasura is instructing Indra, so Krishna also instructed Indra by instructing his father and the cowherd men of Vrindavan about Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So it's a very nice pastime. Govardhan Puja is coming up very soon. We'll be studying this pastime. So, it was the custom in Vrindavan on Diwali day to worship King Indra, because Indra is the supplier of the rain, and that by that rain the cowherd men are able to grow their the crops will come, and the cowherd men are able to have fodder for their cattle, and so much wealth and opulence will come through the rains. So some the cowherd men were feeling some obligation to Indra. But Krishna is thinking, yes, it's very nice that they're doing like that, but Indra's become puffed up, so he needs to be taught a lesson. And simultaneously, I want to teach the residents of Vrindavan about the importance of Govardhan Hill. And I want to teach them about the importance of worshipping the Brahmins and Govardhan Hill. So, when Krishna is seeing his father and all the cowherd men arranging for the sacrifice to Indra, he begins to talk as if he were an atheist, supporting the philosophy of karma mimamsa. Advocates of this philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. They put forward the argument that if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Their opinion is that even if there is a God who gives man the result of his fruit of activities, there is no need to worship him, because unless man works, God cannot bestow any good result. They say that instead of worshiping demigod or God, people should give attention to their own duties, and thus the good result will surely come. Lord Krishna said, "My dear father, I don't think you need to worship any demigod for the successful performance of your agricultural activities. Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply by taking the result of his present karma. Everyone is born in different types of species of life according to his past activities, and he gets his next birth according to the activities of this life," etc. Maharaj Nanda, they agreed, yes, without satisfying the predominating deity, one cannot derive any good result. But they say, yes, we agree with that. So Krishna says, "My dear father, there is no need to worship the demigod Indra. Everyone has to achieve the result of his own work. We can actually see that one becomes busy according to the natural tendency of his work. And according to that natural tendency, all living entities, whether human beings or demigods, achieve their respective results." So then Krishna talks about the four varnas and how they should just do their duty. So Krishna was identifying with the Vaishya community, and he's saying that, okay, you're protecting many cows, so we should engage in the activities of farming, cow protection. This is your duty. No need to worship Indra. Just do your duties, and then everything will be nice. Everything will be done nicely because you're doing your duty nicely. Krishna says, "This cosmic manifestation is going on under the influence of the three modes of material nature. These three modes are the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Even if you do not please Indra, what can he do? We do not derive any special benefit from Indra. Even if he is there, he pours water on the ocean also, where there is no need of water. So he is pouring water on the ocean or on the land. It does not depend on our worshiping him. As far as we are concerned, we do not need to go to another city or village or foreign country." This is Srila Prabhupada speaking. "There are palatial buildings in the cities, but we are satisfied living in this forest of Vrindavan. Our specific relationship is with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Forest, and nothing more than Krishna again. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin a sacrifice which will satisfy the local Brahmins in Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Indra." Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange for a separate sacrifice for the local Brahmins in Govardhan Hill. But for the present, let me execute this sacrifice known as Indra Yajna." Krishna says, "No, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local Brahmins will take much time. Better take the arrangement and paraphernalia you have already made for the Indra Yajna and immediately engage them to satisfy Govardhan Hill and the local Brahmins." So the residents of Vrindavan were very determined to have their sacrifice to Indra. But even more so, more determination was there to love Krishna. That was their reason for their existence. They just wanted to love Krishna. So even though Krishna was presenting this philosophy, and they had so many other things to do, because they were so much in love with Krishna, they said, "Okay, we'll do what you want." Because they had faith, simple faith in Krishna, that if they simply serve him, then everything will be okay for them. So Krishna is speaking. Sometimes, in order to rescue his devotees, from difficult situation or from misunderstanding. He has to do so many things. He may even have to speak atheistic philosophy. So this is the wonder of Krishna. And sometimes, to help the devotees, Krishna speaks in in different ways to help his different devotees. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his tour of South India, he came to Udupi, and because he was dressed as a Mayavadi sannyasi, so the followers of Madhvacharya there, they didn't pay any attention to him. They didn't have anything to do with him. But then when they saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting ecstatic symptoms out of love for Udupi Krishna, then they understood that he was a devotee. So the acharya of the Udupi Mat approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, you're the acharya of this mat." So he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sadhya sadhana ami na jani bhala mate. Sadhya sadhana shreshta janaha amate." Said, "I don't know very well the aim of life. Sadhana sadhya, I don't know. Or how to achieve it. Please tell me the best idea for humanity and how to attain it." So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to discuss philosophy with the acharya. So first he's presenting himself, says, "I don't know very well he's the Supreme Lord himself, but he's saying, I don't know what is the aim of life or what is the process to achieve that aim of life. Please tell me." Then the acharya replies, "Acharya kohe varnashram dharma krishne samarpan e hoy krishna bhaktir shreshta sadhan." So he goes right to the final point of the Madhva philosophy and says, "Varnashram dharma krishne samarpan." One should perform the activities of varnashram dharma and offer the results to Krishna. This is the conclusion of the Madhva philosophy. Ehoi Krishna Bhaktir Shreshta Sadhana. This is the Shreshta Sadhana. This is the topmost sadhana. Then the acharya continues. Pancha Vida Mukti Paya Vaikunthe Gaman Sadhya Shreshta Hoya E Shastra Nirupan. If one considers, takes up this Varnashram Dharma, then Pancha Vida Mukti Paya, one will achieve the five kinds of liberation, and Vaikunthe Gaman, one will go to Vaikuntha. So he said, this is the conclusion of all the Shastras, A Shastra Nirupan, this is the Sadhana Sadhya Shreshta Hoy. This is the achieving the five kinds of liberation and going to Vaikuntha. This is the topmost goal of life, he says. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard respectfully. Then he said, "Prabhu kahe, Shastre kahe, Shravana Kirtan, Krishna Prema Seva Phaler, Parama Sadhan." According to the verdict of Shastras, this is Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. So Then he quotes Prahlad Maharaj from 7th canto, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pung Sarpata Vishnu Bhaktish Chain Navalakshanam Kriyate Bhagavat Yadha Tanmanye Dhitam Uttamam. So this is the actual verdict of the revealed scriptures, to perform these 9 activities of devotional service. And then Mahaprabhu, after quoting these verses, he says, Shravana Kirtan Hoite Krishne Hoi Prema Se Panchama Purusharta Purushartir Sima. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Krishna by executing these 9 processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, he has attained the 5th platform of success and the limit of life's goals. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport here that everyone is after success in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately merging into the existence of Brahman. But these are the 4 goals of life. Everyone is engaged in these 4 goals of life: religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But he says there's a 5th goal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there's a 5th goal, which is bhakti. And this is higher than the other 4 goals. And that by engaging in the process of Shravana Kirtan, one can achieve that the 5th goal of life and surpass the other goals. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after quoting some more statements from Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Karma ninda, karma tyaga, sarva shastri kahe, karma hoite prema bhakti krishne kabu nahe. He says, in every revealed scripture, sarva shastri kahe, karma ninda, karma tyaga, every Shastra says it criticizes karma, the process of karma, and it says one should give up the process of karma. This is there in every shastra. There are shastras where the process of karma is glorified. That's a fact. But ultimately, the shastras say that karma is not the ultimate, not the topmost goal, not the topmost process, and then one should give it up. Karma hoite prema bhakti krishne kabu nahe. If one follows the process of karma, we cannot obtain prema, love of Krishna. This topmost bhakti, prema for Krishna, this topmost goal of life, this is not achievable by the process of karma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took compassion on this acharya, and ultimately the acharya of the mud admits that yes, that this is the process that is recommended by Shastra, but what can I do? Madhvacharya has given this process, and he set up the standard for the mutts that he created. This is the process. We have to follow this process of Varnashram Dharma. He says, well, what to do? But yes, it's true that bhakti is the higher goal. So So Krishna, he wants to establish the supremacy of bhakti, the supremacy of prema as the goal of life. So he'll take different tactics. Krishna takes different tactics. He may appear as a small boy in Vrindavan and preach karma mimamsa philosophy, or he may take the position of a sannyasi and directly preach about the ultimate goal of life, or he sends his representatives like Ritrasura to help the demigods to overcome their materialistic tendencies. So there's another nice pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that's given in Chaitanya Mangal about how he helps his devotee to come to the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. So there was one in Navadvip when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a small boy. There was one physician named Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta was a very expert physician and very well respected by the community. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he's in the lila of a young boy who's just like a student in the school, and he has his friends, and sometimes young boys, when they joke amongst themselves, they may make fun of someone in their joking. So one day, Nimai Pandit and his friends, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his friends, they saw Murari Gupta walking along, and they began to follow him just behind, and they started joking amongst themselves about Murari Gupta. They began imitating how he was walking, imitating his expressions, his gestures. And at first, you know, Murari Gupta was noticing out of the corner of his eye that these boys were mimicking him, making fun of him. He just ignored for some time, but they continued. Finally, he got angry, and he turned around and started chastising. He says, who says that this boy is well behaved? I recognize him. He is the son of Jagannath Mishra. Everywhere I've heard his glories, his name is Nimai. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard his words, Lord Gaurahari became angry out of kindness to Murari Gupta. He said, when you take your meal today, I will teach you something. And then they ran away. So Murari Gupta didn't understand what that means. Anyway, he went to his house and engaged in his household affairs and forgot about the whole incident. And then he was sat down to take his midday meal. And as he was taking his midday meal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dressed up very nice in a fancy dhoti and tied his hair up and just walks into the house. And he's just a young boy. Some boy walks into the house when you're taking your meal. You know, okay. So Nimai Pandit says, you just carry on with your meal, no problem. So Murari Gupta is taking his lunch, and Nimai Pandit's getting closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden he passes urine in his plate. and Murari Gupta is surprised. How is this? So he said then he started to chastise Murari Gupta. You're eating this yoga philosophy. And you should give up that eating. That's contaminated. Your food is yoga, and that's contaminated. Give it up. You should take to the process of bhakti. So Murari Gupta was very surprised, and immediately he could understand that, yes, Nimai Pandit, he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then later on he offers his respects. He becomes a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so many nice stories, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about Murari Gupta. So this is in different ways. Krishna is always trying to help his devotees by himself or by the pastimes of his pure devotees. He tries to help the devotees to come to a higher platform in different ways. So that's the lesson of this verse. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We're very fortunate today to have had this opportunity. Any questions or comments from the Vaishnavas? Microphone is there? Questions, comments? Lagudi Prabhu. Can you hear? Wait for the microphone, Prabhuji. We can't hear. The microphone's coming.
We have hold the microphone. Last 20 years.
Hold the microphone close.
I was with Gaurabhaina Maharaj in India 2 years and after in Australia 5 years. So I was experiencing the same thing as Lord Chaitanya was trying to correct his associate. So Srila Gaurabhaina Swami was trying to correct his to get them out from this conditioning, and so it was successful, at least for few of us, for me and you, and the rest together afterwards. So thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions, comments? In the back? Yes. Someone may have to help with the understand and communicate.
I just want to know that why do we face so many problems when we pray like continuously and, you know, chanting of the mantra?
Did you hear? Huh?
Hello?
Even after chanting, why we face problems?
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the fan that's turning. So, in the beginning, we're plugged into the power source, which is our sinful activities. So we're getting so many troubles, and that's signifying the fan turning and turning and turning and turning. So we're plugged into we're performing sins, so we're getting so much trouble. So, just like when you pull the plug out, still the fan continues to turn, but starts to go slowly. So, We're taking up by chanting the holy name, immediately all the sins are neutralized. That's no problem. But there's still some parabdha karma, still some past existing troubles associated with the body that we have. So until we give up this body, we have to suffer. We have to suffer. But if we chant faithfully through this lifetime, when we give up this body, then all those sinful, there'll be no more sinful reactions.
Thank you.
Yes. In the front, we have a question. Our Parama questioner here.
Hare Krishna. Krishna is only independent, all others are dependent. Correct? And Krishna is the cause of all causes. And all of us dance according to the will of the Krishna. Correct?
All of us?
Are dancing according to the will of the Krishna.
Or what? All of us are? Yes, all activities are done by the will of Krishna, yes.
No, all of us are dancing according to the desire of Krishna. It is said in previous verses.
What is that word? Dancing, yes. Dancing according to the will of Krishna.
So now, we may be practicing Krishna consciousness, but outside we may look like devotees, but inside we may have asuric qualities. Can we say Krishna is the cause of that?
I didn't hear.
See.
Everything is the will of Krishna. We have to understand how. Krishna He wants to love. He wants to love. The Srila Prabhupada was never very encouraged by the Christian idea of God. Some old man sitting on a throne in heaven, who just he's punishing everyone, right? And okay, so some people are okay; they can stay with him, and then everyone else is getting punished eternally. So Krishna wants to love, and love means voluntary. So he gives everyone some independence. That's his will. That we have independence is his will. Because when we choose to use that independence to serve him, then he gets more pleasure than if he were to just force us to serve him. So he's created so many souls, and they all have the propensity. They all have they all have minute independence. Some choose to serve him. Some choose to try to imitate him. And then they take on demoniac qualities. Ultimately, they're still jiva. They're still his devotee. Even though they may appear to be inside contaminated, no. Inside is the jiva, which has its propensity to serve Krishna. So it's just a question of getting rid of those demoniac tendencies that we've developed due to our enviousness of Krishna. And when we give those up, then we'll be able to serve him correctly. So if he didn't give us that independence, then he wouldn't experience the love that he wants to experience. Parama number two.
It is said that every atom has Paramatma within. Every atom in the universe has Paramatma within.
Atom, every atom.
Atom, A-T-O-M. So everywhere, and our body is also made up of many atoms. So in each atom of our body, we'll also have Paramatma, apart from the Paramatma sitting in the heart. Am I correct?
Yes. So what is the question?
So we are totally, we can say that basically we are made up of Paramatma. Every building block of our body contains Paramatma. So apart from one main Paramatma residing in the heart along with our individual soul, there are many Paramatma from head to toe and skin to bone. So we are like made up of Paramatma. Still why we are committing sins and impurities if there is so much of Paramatma element within us? Pure Paramatma.
Paramatma has, in Bhagavad Gita it's described, the Paramatma has two functions, Anumanta and
Upadrasha.
sitting here.
Upadrashta.
Upadrashta, yes. Upadrashta and Anumanta.
Witness and conscience.
So that's all. That's all Paramatma does. Anumanta, Upadrashta. So certain of those Paramatmas, they have the responsibility to maintain the structure of the body. And one has, one particular manifestation of Paramatma has the job of Upadrashta, watching our activities and permitting us to do our activities. But that's not Chaita Guru. Chaita Guru is something else. Chaita Guru who instructs us, that's the Chitta Adishtata Devata. That's the controlling deity of the Chitta, the intelligence. Vasudev. It's described that the controlling deity of the intelligence is Vasudev. And he's got another responsibility, and that is to give instructions to the jiva. But the Paramatma, all those Paramatmas, they're just permitting. They're just observing and permitting. But it's only that one Chitta Adishtata Devata that's giving instructions to us. And then if we become a devotee, as if it's not crowded enough already inside the body, if we become a devotee, then also Krishna comes and takes rest personally in our heart. So that's another manifestation of Krishna. Okay?
Thank you.
One more question. Okay.
Prabhu, I feel, I may not be correct also. See, how many Paramatmas are in our body is not very important. Whether we are feeling the presence of one Paramatma in our bodies, that is important.
Hari Bol. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.